you like to follow along in your Bible, I know it says John 19, and that's the inspiration for today's message, but we're actually going to be in Psalm 37. So if you would like to turn there while I kind of get us set up this morning. We're going to continue our series, The Seven Project, which, as you know, deals with the seven final statements of Jesus from the cross. This statement deals with thirst. And so I'll briefly read to you the verse, John 19, verse 28. Jesus says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. In the context of this scripture, it's clear one of the reasons that Jesus says, I am thirsty, to fulfill the scripture. And the scripture he's talking about is Psalm 69:21, where it says that gall and vinegar were given to fill the basic needs of food and drink to David. These are metaphors, of course, for the scorn that were forced onto David when what he really desired was comfort and peace. And so this is a really cool transition from the gall and vinegar, the scorn that David received, and when he truly desired comfort and peace, and how the scorn that Christ received yielded that comfort and peace for us. Thirst is the natural craving for fluids, resulting in the basic instinct of animals to drink. That's the definition of thirst. It's not learned. It's not manifested through effort. It's a natural occurrence in our makeup as creatures, as creation. As our bodies become more aware of a need of fluid, our natural feeling is thirst. Thirst is a longing for something. It's a deep inner desire for water. It isn't a result of selfishness. It isn't a learned action. It's not something we do because it's expected. It's simply at its core an innate longing within each of us. It's how we were made. Ruth Haley Barton, in her book Sacred Rhythms, suggests that one of the most essential elements in living the with God life, and when I say the with God life, this is a term that was developed by Dallas Willard way back when they were creating the Spiritual Formation Bible. A bunch of guys a lot smarter than I'll ever be sat around a table for several months and came up with the Spiritual Formation Bible. And they were trying to decide what phrase to use to help people connect with the idea of spiritual formation. And Dallas Willard suggested that at its core, it basically means living life with God. It means knowing that God is always with you, and then approaching God in every chapter of our life. Because we know by now that no matter where we go, we can't escape from God, right? God is always where we are. And so the idea of the with God life is becoming aware of that and participating in life with God. And so Ruth Haley Barton suggests that one of the most essential elements of this kind of life is to identify our longings. To identify our longings. What are those things that we thirst for? A longing is more than a want. A longing is more than a desire. I want a new motorcycle. I long to teach and preach God's word. I want ice cream. I long for love. I want my kids to listen to me. I long to know that God hears me. Get the idea? There's a big difference between a want and a longing. It's not a selfish practice, because when we identify our longings, we can enter more fully into our formation, into that with God life, which, as we've defined before, and in case you don't remember, I'll remind you that the idea of spiritual formation is being conformed to the image of Christ, not for our own sake, but for the sake of others. There's this tension that happens when people talk about spiritual formation, especially in evangelical circles, because they think that spiritual formation is all about me, 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 and evangelicals should be all about others, giving the word of God to other people. What they don't understand is that the purpose of spiritual formation is to prepare us in such a way that we can go out. If we go out preemptively when we haven't yet been formed by Christ, we aren't equipped. And so the idea of spiritual formation is to equip us to bring God's word and God's truth out to the world. So Psalm 37 is where we'll be today. Psalm 37:4 is a verse that offers a lot of comfort to a lot of people. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. How many of you guys have heard people use that to justify a selfish desire? I know I have. Well, that's easy. Lord, I delight in You, and I really desire a raise. Lord, I really love You, and a new car would be really nice. Lord, I delight in You. Please fix this person that I have conflict with. Can you see how this verse can be taken out of context to make God our cosmic wish granter? When we take a small step back and get a little perspective on this piece of scripture, though, we read this: trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. See, the desires of our hearts aren't even really for us. Those things that were sown into who we were at the beginning of our creation were intended to benefit the kingdom, not us. At the core of each of us is an innate desire, a thirst, a longing for something. God put it there. It's good. And the result of searching out these longings and of participating in seeking restitution for these longings helps us know God better. We all know that we are created in God's image, right? We all know enough about Genesis to know that that is truth. God created man in His image. So we are divine image bearers. We represent God on planet Earth. We are all created in God's image. Yet we are all created with unique gifts and abilities. Sometimes I think we get this idea of being created in God's image a little bit wrong. Yes, we bear God's image, but none of us alone bears the full image of God. None of us alone gives a complete picture of who God is, which is why we're called the body of Christ. Each of us, with our gifts, our abilities, our personalities, our life experiences, make up a small picture of the whole of God. Which is why it's so important to search our longings. Because those things that God sowed into our hearts, those deep things that we desire to do, to participate in the kingdom, reveal a little bit about who God is. First to us, and then to the world around us as we explore those longings and participate in those longings. So I want to offer three things today that we can do with our longings to get a better idea, a better picture of who God is and who we are. The first thing is we have to discern our longings. Psalm 37 points out that we are to take delight in the Lord. This is more than just saying, God, I like You. This is more than just saying, God, I love You. How do you delight in something? You participate in it. I'm weird, but I delight in running. For me to delight in running, I have to do more than say, I really like running. I have to do more than read running magazines. I have to do more than wear running shoes. I have to run. So to delight in the Lord, we have to do more than read about God. We have to do more than hear about God. We have to do more than talk about God. We have to participate in life with God. We have to spend quiet time before the Lord and ask Him to strip away all of that selfish stuff, the wants, so that we can get to the core of those innate longings that God sowed into our hearts when we were created. God, what is that thing or those things that You put so deep into my being that when I go to default mode, these are the things that I long for? This is how You created me to participate in Your kingdom. What are those things? Later in her book, Sacred Rhythms, Ruth Haley Barton shares a story about when she realized one of these longings in her life. Her daughter was a freshman in high school, and they were giving her a very big birthday party at her house. 50 people. And all of the family was participating in preparation and getting things ready. And at one point in the evening, there was a line of children going through getting hot dogs and hamburgers. And one of the young men there, she said all the kids were being extremely polite, but one of the young men was just overly polite. And he was just, "Man, Mrs. Barton, thank you so much for letting us do this." And she said, "You're very welcome. We enjoy having you." And his response was, "Really?" And in that moment, she said her heart leapt. And later, as she goes through life, she revisits that moment a lot because she realized that one of the longings in her life was to help people feel desired. Not just by her, but even greater than that, by God. To help them know that they were enjoyed, just as they are. One of the questions that was asked of me at the conference this week was, "Who are you befriending and why?" And then the follow-up question, "Would you still be their friend if..." ... And the example that was given is, are you befriending someone just so they'll see the world like you see it? Are you befriending someone just so they'll join you at church? Are you befriending someone so they'll become a Christian? And will you continue to be their friend if they don't do those things? See, that's the longing of Ruth Haley Barton's heart. That even when they don't see the world like she sees it, even when they don't do the things that she knows are beneficial not only to them now but for eternity, will she still have the compassion to love them the way God loves them and to reveal that truth to them? I had one of these moments this week, a moment that I think I'll revisit quite often. I was blessed to stay with a young man in Houston while I was at the Renovare conference who I've known for quite a while. I actually was his counselor at camp when he was in junior high. And now he's grown. He's 22 or 23 years old, finishing his last year in Bible college. And we sat every evening. I didn't get back to his house until 9:30. But every evening he would stay awake and wait for me, even though he goes to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he would want to have a conversation with me. And I found more than me speaking truth into his life, more than me encouraging him, more than me telling him, "I really think you ought to do this," or "I really don't think you ought to do that," what he really wanted was somebody to listen. He wanted somebody to ask him questions so that he could continue to explore these things that God was doing in his life. And I found that there was great value in that. And at some points in the week, the value that I found in those conversations was even greater than the things that were happening at the conference. I found my heart full as we talked, and I saw that he felt genuinely listened to. And then I realized that what I was doing was spiritual direction. One of the things that I really feel called to and gifted in, I was doing without doing it on purpose. It became default. It's a longing in my heart. What are the times and the places that your heart burns with joy? Where are the moments in life where your thirst is quenched? What are your deepest longings, the things that God sowed into your heart before you were even created? The second thing is to measure our longings. The psalm continues with a reminder that within the context of our delight in the Lord, that's where the desires of our heart are found. It doesn't say that they're the desires of our flesh, or the desires of our minds, or the desires of our current situation. These are the desires of our heart, and they're only discerned through an awareness of God's love for us, through an awareness of our gifts and talents that He blessed us with, and our passion for a particular piece of the kingdom work. Again, none of us embody the full image of God. And so none of us are gifted to address the entirety of the kingdom work. We were gifted and blessed with specific talents to take on a piece of God's kingdom work. It's really easy to mistake a genuine feeling of joy with the time when we felt good or important or powerful. It's really easy to go back in our time and think, well, I really felt joy then. But maybe it wasn't joy. Maybe it was importance. Maybe I felt important. Maybe I felt powerful. Maybe I felt intelligent. True God-given joy isn't about me. It's about others. It's about the kingdom. It's about the big picture. So what are those times when we measure our longings? When you think you've come to a longing, was it a time that you really experienced genuine joy, or was it something else that you mistook for joy? The deepest desires of our hearts, the ones that were put there by God, will never be for anything but His glory and the advancement of His purpose. If you identify a longing that does not line up with the reality, with that reality, I would suggest that it is not from God, and it may not be a longing, it may be a yearning of your flesh. So we have to measure our longings. And then the third point, we have to act on our longings. Dallas Willard once says, "We don't take leaps of faith, we leap with faith." Faith is a lifestyle, it's not a momentary action. It's a way that we're called to live. The psalm continues by saying, "Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this." So when we can genuinely discern our longings, when we can measure them against God's purposes and act on them, God's promise to us is to help us in this process, to give us what we need when we need it. I was thinking about a time when I had a longing and acted on it. And I think probably one of the most impactful in my life was when I accepted the position to pastor this church almost 3 years ago. Because I was scared to death. Scared to death. What if I wasn't good enough? What if I wasn't smart enough? What if I wasn't gifted enough? What if they don't like me? But the longing to preach and to teach and to shepherd and to love was present in my heart. I measured it against God's purposes, and then I leapt with faith. And I trusted God, and He's been faithful to my longing. And when I see someone growing in their walk with God as I participate in the work here at this church, when people come into my office and say, "I'm growing," or when they say, "I want to serve," or when they say, "What can I do? How can I be more active in my spiritual life? How can I be more active in ministry?" These are the moments that I find joy. And so I know that this is one of those things that God sowed into my heart before creation. It's a longing. So to close this morning, I want to encourage you to take some time this week, and it's some significant time, more than 5 minutes, to just sit quietly and explore those moments in your life when you felt real God-given joy. What were you doing? What did that moment reveal about you, about the person that God created you to be? What did that moment reveal about God? What part of that complete image of God did He give you to represent? Verse 6 of Psalm 37 says, "He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun." When we identify our longings and act on them, God uses us in ways we aren't otherwise able to be used. In our journey to fill our longings, God also makes our lives shine with truth about Himself. We're able to more clearly show people who God is, when we identify and nurture that piece of Him that is innate within each of us. When you identify that longing that God sowed into your heart, and you participate in the kingdom in that way. Sometimes it feels selfish because you're doing something that you like, that you enjoy. But it reveals something about the character of God to the world around you. It reveals His love, His genuine acceptance of people where they are, His hospitality, His desire to see them in eternity, His truth, His justice. What part of the character of God has He called you to reveal? When we're more able to clearly show people who God is, when we identify and nurture that piece of Him that is innate within each of us, that's the goal. Spiritual formation is being conformed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. Amen? Let's pray. God, I think more than anything this morning, I'm thankful that You don't call me to represent the complete picture of who You are. Man, what a hard job that would be. Instead, Lord, You give us each just enough. Sometimes it seems overwhelming, but Lord, You equip us and You call us and You gift us and You give us everything we need to represent that piece of the picture of who You are. And Lord, I pray this week that we would spend time searching those longings, allowing You to shine light on our lives, revealing to us those moments where our hearts were full of joy, of genuine God-given joy. And then to begin to explore how we can participate in Your kingdom in that way more often. Lord, I thank You that You call us to serve with You in Your kingdom. And Lord, although we're going to fall a lot, I pray that we would get back up and keep going. And that we would remember that it's not about us, it's not about feeling good about ourselves or anything like that, but it's about revealing who You are to other people. And in return, others will reveal who You are to us. That's community. That's church. Thank You for that gift. In Jesus' name, amen.